Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to this special bonus episode of Musicals with Cheese. It's Kickstarter Friday, and we're going to be talking about our Kickstarter for the film Daughters of the Domino. And joining me is my co-writer of this film, Nathan Keelan. Say hello, Nathan.
Hello.
Now, a lot of folks on this podcast are used to, like, repeat people from the theater community. You are a complete stranger to them, so if you could just introduce yourself. How do you know me and all of that?
Well, I'm Nathan. Mm-hmm. I went to Wayne State University, which is how I know Jesse. Yeah, so we met in a film class. We had a few film classes, but yeah. The first time I noticed you, like, you were showing a rough cut of, I think it's called The Urn.
No, it couldn't have been that. You are incorrect, Nathan.
It wasn't, or it was, I remember the content. It was starring Miranda.
Yeah.
And she spilled her grandmother's urn in a toilet.
Yes.
And but was cleaning it, was hiding the evidence or cleaning it up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's something like that. That did happen. And it was in that class that you were in. But we actually worked together first in our first project, which was where you had to, like, it was basic, like, coolish or basic, like, in-camera editing where you were late to class.
Oh,
and that was our first project together.
I forgot that we did that together too. Yeah.
I remember that specifically because it was like the first time we paired up and you just kind of looked at me and were like, in the trench coat a bit much. That was it. That was your first words to me.
Really?
Yes. Because it was really cold. It was it's Detroit in the winter.
Oh, yeah. It wind everywhere.
That word
sticks out to me. And not to just do Wayne State stories, but I do love, there's one. Do you remember we were in another, we got paired together,
mm-hmm.
and our friend Katie was in it.
Yes.
Which I mentioned that'll be relevant in a second. And this guy whose name I don't remember, who was really quiet and kind of like mysterious, but then remember he was like filming the footage for like the project. And when we got back, all he had done was like filmed Katie.
Oh. What?
Yeah. It's like all just close-ups of her, like while we were like doing video planning and stuff. Because he's supposed to be like, oh, here's a possible location, you know, here's a possible location. But it was all just like footage of her. And then, so everyone was understandably a little unsettled. And then we got paired with him again for the next project, which was the montage project. And I remember because you and I think Savannah, what's her name, was in the group, and me and the guy whose name I don't remember, the guy who filmed Katie, I remember all three of us immediately kind of like took charge and didn't let him near the camera and told him that like he was the actor in this one. Yeah.
So yes.
Those are my strong early memories of working with you.
Yes. And I feel like the unspoken side of our connection was we saw an issue and we didn't really have to run it by each other to know that we had to deal with this issue, which I think was probably what has made us one of the more consistent collaborators from folks in college. Because you made a film called Hand in Glove, and it had strategic sense to how the shots were placed. So you were the DP for a film I made called Technical Difficulties that summer. And that
is that still
film,
on Amazon?
It's somewhere. People have brought it up to me.
Yeah.
If you go to my website, you'll find it.
I love looking at old work. I know a lot of people who won't look at old work or like hate looking at it, but I, because like if there's, you know, there's a million things that make you cringe looking at something, but there's also, there's just these moments of pure inspiration that I just love.
I agree.
That's got a lot of technical difficulties. There's a lot of wonderful little moments in it.
Yeah, it's not a complete whole, but it works in the moments, and the moments that work really work. Yeah. And I think that's, if you can say that about any short film that you made while you still had the teen in your number of age, you're pretty good. So you and I worked together on and off for years. We worked on writing together a few times, and those didn't really come to fruition for several reasons. But for, I think starting in December of 2019, I gave myself the pressure that I had to write a full feature by January 1st of 2020. I think that was the goal I gave myself. And I knew I wanted to do something mystery, something based on like these videos that Miranda would make as a kid, because I thought they were really, really cute. And it would be a fun little Easter egg for me. And I think you were there for that first reading. You might not have been.
I don't think I was for the reading. I had that script that you're talking about. Because I actually remember, I think I couldn't make the reading, and I invited one of my friends over, and like him and me and my brother did like our own reading to read through it.
Yeah, that was a fun
Which was funny because we didn't have enough people. So like we were struggling with the voices. That thing was a giant farce. And there's also one line that we couldn't stop laughing at because It's the scene's not in the current draft of the movie at all. It's so different. It's an unrecognizable
not the same thing as this is. We're not claiming we wrote this in a month.
Yeah, but just real quick, Detective Rose is looking at a car where a body was found, and they're trying to decide if it's murder or suicide. And the line that just stuck out to me so much, because she thinks it's suicide because if it's murder, there would be signs of a struggle. And she says, look at the cans in the backseat. They would all be crushed up if there's a struggle. These are immaculate cans. And the phrase, these are immaculate cans, I just could not get over.
I mean,
and that
kind
of derailed the rest of our reading.
Technically, it's correct.
No, that's why... That added to the hilarity, because I was like, this isn't in context out of place to say in a clinical setting, but that just always stuck out to me.
Yeah, I had forgotten that line, and now I wish it was in the current script in some way. that does not give you any spoilers for this film. So Daughters of the Domino, which is what it's called, Nathan and I, like that first draft, I was like, I'm not a funny guy. I sincerely don't believe I am particularly funny in that way. I'm very good on structure and plot, and I'm pretty good at figuring out what should go thematically and what places and what an audience needs at what moment. And you're very good at dialogue that sounds like human beings said it aloud. Like, you're very good at making it sound distinct from each other and not just like one person talking through these different characters, which is very needed. So that's
and
where
I have
both
no handle on structure. So
yes. Like, I remember, so I was like, hey, here's like the plot line. You do your own draft real quick. And then over 2 months, you wrote your own draft. I took it. Then I'm like, no, this belongs here, and just restructured it. I don't think I changed a word of that, but I'm like, no, we're going to take this 30 pages and we're going to throw it much later. So I just rearranged that. And then we worked off of that for another, I want to say, 14 months. Like, throughout the entire pandemic, we took that and just picked away at it, what we liked, what we didn't like. Full scenes were cut out, new scenes were added, some scenes were brought back in.
I think you first there's that January 2020 you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, because obviously something rather disruptive happened a few months later.
What you're talking about, could it be like, did you have an issue in the family, or was it the novel coronavirus?
It was actually the novel coronavirus.
Oh okay.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but that affected me a bit, my lifestyle. No, but to get back to the point, yeah. So I don't know if it's directly because of that, but you know, everyone went a little crazy for a few months, and I think it wasn't until like October or November you reached out again and you asked what I was up to, and I was like working from home, but in a big way, my answer was just like nothing. Like, I'm not up to a thing. So that's when, and it wasn't starting completely from scratch, because you still have the structure and like some important elements you wanted. But it was kind of throwing out most of the old script and starting.
Which, if you are a writer, you have to be unafraid to do that if something's just not working. Like,
yeah,
you
or just
really
drop something.
I won't say drop something. Never give up, but don't be married to your original thoughts. Don't be so married to it that you can't be flexible.
Yeah, I have a book I'm writing that I gave up on. So
I sincerely think whatever you start, you finish. And if you're not happy with it, try again. That's
why. I guess I've currently given up on it.
Yeah, you
I
never
got
know.
It was very pandemic inspired. I'm like 50 pages in, and another reference to an old student film. I kind of realized that it's kind of the same plot as People by accident, which is my friend Emily Mihalik, Wayne State filmmaker. She directed it and came up with the story. And it's about a guy who is locked in his, or he's not. He's a bit of a recluse. He wants to stay in his apartment, and he basically just starts having all these weird hallucinations and freaking out, and at the end it's revealed that he had carbon monoxide poisoning. And the book I'm writing is about a kind of a reclusive guy who's living in his house and having all these hallucinations. And I didn't get quite to the ending yet, but I kind of realized that it's People too.
Wow. I mean, I'm excited. I hope there's a sequel where you find out it wasn't carbon monoxide.
Ooh, that one's not streaming. People.
No, that one's pretty good. I like that one.
That's another one where, like, I think Emily's kind of embarrassed by it, just in a old art kind of way.
I mean,
and I'm like, no, it's so good, it's so beautiful.
There are some things that are better because, like, you've seen my film Sunny Days, right?
Yeah.
I think that film only works because of how amateurish it is, because you see the twist coming even less. Because you think it's playing it so sincere, because any other shitty student film would be played. If we had done it in a more professional way, the twist wouldn't work nearly as well. Yeah.
That's how the thing you mentioned, my very first like project, Hand in Glove, that you mentioned, I love looking back on that. It's the exact same thing. I think that works so well because I had so little know-how. My only, like, I had the story I like, but my only thoughts were filming was just, how do I frame this shot to be cool?
Mm-hmm.
And like, if I'd known a little bit more, I think in a weird way at that stage, I would have like hampered myself. Like, I'm glad I know a lot more now. Mm-hmm. But at the time, the fact that I had the kind of the confidence to just be like, oh, I'm not going to plan. I'm just going to show up with the camera and you, and we'll figure out how to make it look cool. Like it, yeah,
yeah.
It just worked perfectly.
Which is
for
just,
that.
Which A is just not the way to make films.
No.
We don't want to frame this because we are running this because we're asking folks for money and for them to trust us as professionals, which we have since grown on to be professionals in our own right, both in filmmaking, writing, all that kind of stuff.
Yes,
so
I get paid to film things now.
Yeah, we are both technically professionals in our industry, but it is kind of fun to look back on where we started, because aside from Andrew, who hosts this podcast with me, Nathan's probably like the longest dating back creator, at least in consistency. It's like, no matter what project I do, you're usually there from technical difficulties on.
Yeah, it was, and it's always been different roles, like technical difficulties as writer and DP. Then I did the music for Good Neighbors, Good Fences.
Yes.
When you did
and you
the opera.
And you wrote
short...
that. Don't forget you wrote
it. Oh, yeah, and I wrote it. Yes, I did. And when you did, I always pronounce it wrong, Lucecchia.
Lucecchia.
Lucecchia. When you did that, I sat on a light because there weren't enough sandbags. And I got a sunburn. No, it wasn't a light. It was a big sheet blocking a window.
And you know what? That movie looks great because you sat on that light.
Yeah. That made all the difference.
I mean, you have to agree. That's like the best looking film we've done.
Yeah.
It's
really striking visually.
Yeah. It's probably the one that will be seen by most people by the end of our lives, just because it you don't need to like understand any language for it. You can play it at any festival ever, forever.
That is cool.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about like the language barriers and all that. So Daughters of the Domino, what's your soft pitch? Because you and I worked on that Kickstarter video, obviously, but that's my definition of what the plot is. How would you describe it to people without trying to spoil it? Because this is a mystery, and we do have to watch our words very carefully here.
Right, yeah. Let me double check real quick again before I start talking about the plot. Is this edited at all?
No.
Are we live live?
We're live live.
So at the end of the movie, it's revealed that...
No, don't.
So what I would say, so Daughters of the Domino, first, you know, it's a tale of two daughters, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Two
sisters. Well, technically...
Or right, two daughters who are sisters.
I mean, three daughters, because we're also considering Jules as a granddaughter. Like, there's
a
lot
of... It's a bit of a title that's up for some interpretation.
Yes.
Like the Phantom Menace.
We're just as good as the Phantom Menace, guys.
Yeah, or Attack of the Clones. Oh, damn it, the mirror messed me up.
Oh, yeah.
But, so it's a story of family.
It's about family. That's what makes it powerful.
And I think it's a story of wounds that have never healed.
Yes.
Which I think everyone can relate to. And especially people with family, which is most people, not everyone.
Yes.
But family are just close people who you've been close to for a long time. And just kind of the up and downs that come with that, and how something that someone did or you perceive they did to you 20 years ago can still be so present today. And I think that's really what it's about, because Nina's a detective who we meet, and her father was a serial killer who she put away, and her sister Laura blames her for it, which kind of immediately may be like, wait, what? But you got to examine, it's those family ties where kind of rationality immediately flies out the window. Mm-hmm. And so the arrest and everything all happened a long time ago. And then their father, the Domino, died recently. And that is kind of what causes all the feelings to come up again. And then, so that's kind of when Jesse came to me with the idea. That was the aspect of it that immediately I wanted to dive into more.
Because even from draft one, this was about the sisters at the core. Mm-hmm. They've changed what they do in the story very much, but no matter what, they're the core of the story.
So I loved that, and that also was a rich area to explore, because like Jesse had a very in a good way, because you as a writer you want that, he had a very kind of sparse outline of kind of just main plot points. So I was really excited to start writing, and like, who are these sisters? How are they going to interact with each other? How is the shadow of their father still present in their lives? And then,
I was more like, here's the plot elements and here's the mystery side of it. And Nathan's like, who are these characters?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
But it was great, though, because it made it easy to dive into who are these characters, because, and this is in the pitch, too, so this isn't a spoiler, because Laura, who's the older sister, her daughter gets kidnapped.
Yes.
It's almost like a cool, kind of a fill-in-the-blank practice when you've got, like, the outline like that. in a really interesting way, because often when I'm writing something on my own, it'll just, it's real easy to just keep going in a direction and just kind of trail off and realize that there's like no plot happening. It's all just what the characters are thinking. So it's fun to do that. And I love doing that. And you get a lot of good stuff like that. But knowing that you're building up to something so plot driven, the kidnapping, which is pretty different than a lot of the things I've usually written, was like a really interesting challenge. And kind of like, it was fulfilling to figure it out.
I think that, like, with filmmaking especially, it's expensive, and we try to not write too much to our limitations, but I mm-hmm. feel like in the end of the day, this is a very filmable movie. While it does sound grandiose and bigger than life, it is at its core a very personal thing, and which makes the describing the tone of it very difficult, as you can see us kind of struggle with the Kickstarter. So my good friend Brent Black, who's been on this podcast a couple times, went over it a couple times in a couple of variations, and he's like, the biggest thing is like, I've read the script, it's very funny, and the plot, just read on its face, doesn't read that funny. It feels like grimdark. So the biggest tightrope to walk in pitching this movie is to be like, yeah, these things are happening, but with family dramas, it's often very funny, very tense, and very relieving when you can get those emotions out.
I think a lot of times too, when people are their most stressed or most kind of like grasping at straws, in a weird way, they become their most hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And like having to walk the tightrope of just normal society and just how people act in the world, and having to pretend to like put on the telephone voice, to put on your different coding for different situations, can lead to humor and a lot of funny moments despite what's going on, despite how dark the things seem. So that's the reason why it's like, Miranda, I think, said it brilliantly. Like, it's not one note, it's terrifying, it's thrilling, and also hilarious,
which I think can be very compelling.
Yes.
In a way where it keeps you on your toes. Like a plot with kidnapping, with murder, with mystery, that already has you on your toes.
Yes.
And the lightness, the humor, I think it can add a lot of welcome levity, but can also heighten those dramatic, horrible moments where a second ago we were laughing and now this is happening. And
yes,
it can be jarring, but it's also, I think, really in a weird way, like that really speaks to real life to me too.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like also
a horrible
about picking
day isn't horrible the whole time. There are moments of goodness, and sometimes it's welcome, and sometimes it's horrible because you're having such a good day and then this horrible thing happened.
And also narratively, it's about picking your moments. You're not going to want to undercut what is an emotional beat with a joke, but you also need to make these folks seem human. And that's one of my big problems with like Denis Villeneuve. None of them come off as human.
Man,
except
the first time I heard his name pronounced, I was reading Denis Villeneuve, but anyway, that's a tangent, you were saying.
Like, everyone was complaining about Dune not having any jokes, but it has like two, but they all kind of sound like the same human being talking, which is my biggest issue. And humor is a very good differentiator between what kind of person this person A is and what kind of person B is. As well as, I think it makes the sadder parts even sadder because of how far you fell.
I'll say Dune is not a hilarious book.
It is a hilarious film when directed by David Lynch, in my opinion. That film is a laugh a minute.
I love watching that film. I couldn't get over because I read the book first, right, and the weapons that they shoot with their, or don't they say it? They say zah, and that's how they shoot their gun. But they literally running around zah. I love it.
Incredible.
It's pure inspiration. It's David Lynch had an idea and he liked it and he went with it. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. I can watch that movie anytime. I will never watch the Denis Villeneuve Dune again. It was fine. I enjoyed it, but I'll never watch that again. I will watch
I've given that a rewatch. I'm excited to see the number of sequels they're going to do.
Don't do too much.
Well, there's like 6 books before his son took over, and now there's like 12 books. But there's like a trilogy is the main one, but they're already splitting the first movie and the first book into 2 movies. So I wonder if they're planning to do 4 movies or if they're planning to stop after. But anyway, I'm interested in that.
This is exhausting, man. I do want to dive. We are recording this on October 6th, 2022, our third day into our Kickstarter. Our goal is 20,000. And as of this morning, and recording this at 10:47 a.m., we are 16% funded. And it's not amazing, but that's pretty good. There's still hope. There's still hope. I mean,
I've never had people just hand that amount of money over before.
And I do want to dive into who they are, because I feel like that's worthwhile doing. So if you would join me in what is going to be a little bit monotonous, but let's dive into it. The first person to donate, the first one, is RJ Narija, who is one of the patrons of my podcast. They've supported me for a long time, and I appreciate it. $50. You rock, RJ. Next up, the second person to donate early in the morning, and he later told me that it was what he woke up to. CinemaGen Reviews, Sebastian Canino, very good person, donated enough to be able to be a voice cameo in the film. So that's going to be really exciting. Another patron, Jessica T, donated, was the fourth one in, with another good donation, a pretty good one. Dakota Watkins, one of my best friends since I was in like middle school, very good person, loved to death. I stood in his wedding. He donated as well. Avery, who I think might be Avery Brinson of the Patreon, but either way, thank you very much for your donation. Anthony Sylvie, another person I've known since elementary school, very kind, seventh one in. Angel, thank you. I don't know who you are, Angel, but that was a very kind donation.
That's even cooler in a way.
Yeah.
Someone was just sold on the pitch.
I think that's it. And then we have Alondra M. Perez Ramirez. Don't know who you are. Thank you so much for your donation. Frank Seekin, who we both know, worked on a bunch of films with us. Good man, one of the coolest guys out there. When I shot, I will always remember him when I'm on Hazel's Eyes set and he wore the Tobey Maguire Pizza Time shirt. And I just, that is how he will always look to me. Then of course my father donated because, you know, your daddy has to. Thanks, Dad. Jack Jansen, who I don't know who you are, but thanks for the donation. And that it's a pretty sizable donation too. Jack, that was very nice. I appreciate you. Diane Karsh, another donor, very, very kind person. Thank you for that. Michael Short, who you had some fun with, Nathan.
He's Santa Claus.
Yes, he looks very much like Santa Claus.
He's dressed as Santa Claus in the picture. It's not just that he looks like him.
he looks like him too.
Well, he does, but I mean the red hat adds a lot to it.
I don't know who this is. Yes. I worked with him for a long time. He's a good man. Blue View donated. I don't know who you are, but thank you very much. My Aunt Andrea donated as well. Yay, family. Another person I don't know, Anthony Clark Brown. I believe they might be a fan of the podcast, but if you're out there, please let me know who you are. That was very kind of you. And then, of course, Dakota's wife, Emily, donated, and that was great. Roxanne Kacharski, good old donation. Thank you so much, Roxanne. Brent Black, everyone's favorite guest on Musicals with Cheese, had to donate under penalty of death. Thank you, Brent. Mackenzie donated. Thank you very much for that. Toriana Frazier, another patron of the podcast. Thank you so much for that. John Michael Schott, I don't know who you are, but I'm grateful that you did it. It means a lot to me. Pam Schimmel. Chimmel? Okay, I'm going to spell it, and you're going to tell me how you think it's pronounced. C-H-M-I-E-L.
Chimiel.
Let's go with that. Don't know who you are. Very large donation. Thank you. my good friend, Gabrielle Day, donated, one of the kindest, most hardworking people I've ever met. Thank you so much. Isaac Wilkins, someone I did not know and did not know me before this Patreon existed, and donated quite a bit of money right away. Very, very kind. They've worked as a line producer in Hollywood and a bunch of things. Very, very cool of them to do this. Has Caddy, don't know who you are. Thank you so much for donating. They're apparently from Kansas City, which is pretty cool.
Kansas City, Kansas or Oklahoma, or also might have that wrong.
Kansas.
Yeah.
Kansas City, Missouri. No, it's in Missouri, okay. The one you're thinking of. Mason Love, another person on that donated quite a bit. Thank you very much. Jen Hilson, one of my good friends. Hannah Neese, you know her.
Oh, yeah.
Robert McLaughlin, another person that I've known for a very long time, donated quite a bit. Sven Pape, I believe that's it. I think they might know me through the podcast, but I'm not quite sure. And then with a pretty sizable donation, Schaeferless Productions, very kind person, retweeted right away and donated quite a bit to this. So thank you for that. Christy Esterly, who you might know as Musical Hell, donated. Josh Rogers, a person I've known. And finally, Mark Phillips. Don't know who you are. Grateful to have you on the board, though. And that is everyone that's donated, bringing our grand total up to... Nathan, do you want to give a pitch before I read it?
A pitch?
Yeah, how much do you think we got just from those names?
$1,600.
$3,246.
Oh, I was half. Look at that. That's a good way to be wrong.
Yes. We have 28 days to go, so we're not quite there yet. We're only at 16%, but if we keep this momentum, we might be able to make our goal. So if you could, even if you've donated, or if you don't have the funds to donate, it would mean the world to me if you would share the Kickstarter, share it with your parents. If you got a rich uncle, convince them to give us some money. It's not just throwing your money at the wall. You will be getting a lot of things out of this. We are offering a lot of fun perks. People have redeemed the perks, so people are getting this stuff. And sincerely, I want to make sure that I'm as transparent as possible here. So my email is open. My DMs on Twitter are open. If you have any questions about this, come together.
In.
Yes. And I think a lot of folks just know me as Goofy Podcast Man. So Nathan, I want you to ask you, basically, as someone that's worked on many sets with me, how am I different on a set? And do you believe in your whole heart I'm able to do this?
Yeah. Okay. My whole heart? No, I'm kidding. No, I do. Yeah. You're a good person to have on set, a good person to be in charge of the set. Like, you're there treating everyone respectfully, but you're not just like joking and relaxing and having a good time.
No,
there's like a focused atmosphere where people are allowed to be relaxed in the sense that like you're not nervous, no one's being like unkind to anyone or anything like that. But it is like everyone shows up, and I think you do like inspire everyone to just work hard and like with like a positive attitude to it. But you also that's very important on any team, including a film team. But you've also just got like lots of know-how, and besides that, you bring in really good people, which I think is a really good quality to like know who you can hire or to like handle something, you know, because filmmaking is such a collaborative thing. You can't do it all on your own. So the fact that you've got you know the people to bring in and how much direction to give them and when to let them make the creative decisions.
And we can't really announce any cast right now, but we do have a couple people signed on, and this is really gonna be good, guys. This is gonna be really, really interesting. It's gonna be such I really am trying to talk around this, but it's exciting. After all the readings, all the other stuff, like, it's finally gonna come to life. And man, I'm mostly just excited. It used to be like I was terrified, but now I'm just kind of like, hey, this might come together.
Me too. It feels very, I don't want to say it feels unreal because that's too easy, and it's in a lot of ways it's the opposite because it's becoming so real. But just the way it was the midst of the pandemic when we started, and you were always saying like, this is something I want to actively make, so that was always the plan we're working to. But there was something just about the isolation everyone was in where it kind of felt like, oh, we're making a movie, it'd be cool if movies ever got made again someday.
Yeah,
it's real fanciful in the midst of
2020, where it's like, we're gonna make a movie, well, movies exist next year. And now it's back up and life is mostly normalish. I don't want to say that because I literally got COVID a few months ago, and boy, it sucks. Don't get COVID, kids.
I still haven't.
Yes, I'm so happy. And I will be damned before I see anyone get COVID on this set. I am taking the precautions.
Yeah. I mean, it was a safe set when we did Good Neighbors, Good Fences last year. It's been COVID shooting.
Hell yeah. It'll be a good time. And don't forget, we're not going to disappear after the Kickstarter's gone. You guys are going to get updates. You guys are going to get a lot of cool stuff. It's going to be a good time. And on that note, Nathan, is there anything you want to promote out for people to find you?
I'm on the Twitter at... Thing Nathan Said. I wanted Things Nathan Said, but it didn't fit. I'm on YouTube, just my name, Nathan Keelan. And yeah, Detroit Media Productions. You should check them out. Detroit Media Productions is a company I run with my brother, and we're pretty great. We do lots of music videos, music performances. I did some photography of a chef once.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's ways to find me.
And And if you want to see Nathan's award-winning performance in film Human Food, it is his pinned tweet on Twitter. And yeah, he won the Best Actor award of that. I think that's one of the one rare times where you and I were head-to-head in competition before, and that was a good that was a good year.
That's a ton of fun. While you kind of swept all the other awards, but then I got Best Actor, which was a ton of fun because, you know, obviously it makes you feel good inside to have people tell you that. But also my friend who was going to be the main character got his work schedule changed late, so he's only available half the day. So I had to be
filmmaking.
Yeah, it was a completely different thing than I envisioned. But yeah, it was a ton of fun. It was fun to do. I was really happy and kind of honored to win that. And we won audience favorite, which like, you know, the people decided.
Nathan,
that's the real best award.
Nathan, there were four audience favorites. You had me, you, and two other people. All four of us.
No, I won audience favorite.
Yeah. So you can watch that. You watch Hazel's Eyes, and you can make them fight. Take the YouTube videos and make them fight.
Yeah. On that, they're very different films. I actually would. I would go watch both of them because they're wildly different, and I think they're both really great.
I also think they both show both of our strengths. To be honest, I think that Human Food shows your strength as a writer and actor and comedian, and Hazel's Eyes is like my idea of like a structured idea that might not be the most developed characters in the world.
Yeah, well, without spoiling it, Human Food is all just I had this pile of sticks that my landlord left in the backyard and I was like, I'm gonna find a way to use this, and I had a pool that we hadn't taken down yet in October, and I found a way to use that too.
What a good time. What a fun
time.
That's a great time. Yeah, watch our films, but most importantly, donate to our Kickstarter so we can make our biggest film. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. And next Friday, we got another Kickstarter Friday. Oh, wait, hold on. Go donate at daughtersofthedomino.com or our Kickstarter page in the links below. Now get out of here. Go do it.
Go.
Go.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.